So good evening, everyone, and welcome to the City of Rockland Planning Commission meeting, May 17th, 2016. I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. And second item on our agenda here is the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you would all rise, and Commissioner Martinez, if you would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible.
Okay, and if we could have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Martinez.
Here.
Commissioner Whitmore.
Here.
Commissioner Broadway.
Here.
Chairman McKenzie.
Here.
And Commissioner Sloan is excused.
Thank you. Next item four, minutes from our May 3rd, 2016 meeting. Any changes, revisions to those meetings, minutes? Seeing none, we will accept those as submitted. Thank you. Any correspondence this evening?
None not directly related to the applications that we presented to you at that time.
Okay. Thank you. Item number six on our agenda is time set aside on the agenda for any citizens wishing to address the Planning Commission on any non-agenda items. This would be items that you may have of general interest in the community that don't appear on our agenda this evening. Seeing none, we will keep moving to our first public hearing, item number seven. 4453 Greenbrae Fence Height Deviation Use Permit U-2016-0002.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Commissioners. The first item for your consideration this evening is a conditional use permit requesting approval of a fence height deviation. As noted, the site is located at 4453 Greenbrae Road. Staff analyzed the project relative to CEQA and determined it is exempt from review under Section 15303, New Construction or Conversion of Small Structures. The property is zoned planned development 1.5 units per acre or PD 1.5. The property is adjacent to a Granite Lakes Estates Homeowners Association owned open space and other developed single family lots in the neighborhood. The proposed fence location and height would not impact the existing four oak trees on the property. Okay. Go that way. The Rockland Municipal Code Section 17.76.010.A requires that fences located within the front yard setback area on residential lots shall not exceed 30 inches in height. On the project site, an existing 6-foot high fence around the property's side and rear yard areas was installed within the required 25-foot front setback, approximately 3 feet behind the property's Greenbrae Road property line. The applicant is requesting approval of a conditional use permit granting a fence height deviation as permitted by the code section 17.76.030.B to allow a portion of the existing fence to remain in place. The applicant's proposal would also move an approximately 50-foot section of the existing fence to an angle from the 25-foot setback line near the corner of the house and connect to the existing side yard fence along Greenbrae Road. This would improve visibility and enhance safety from the existing driveway onto the street. The proposed and existing fencing to remain would not exceed the 6-foot maximum height. The height limit allowed for residential fencing in side and rear yard areas per the code. Staff has analyzed the proposed project and determined that the proposed fencing would be compatible with existing properties in the neighborhood and provide for adequate lines of sight to ensure the safety of pedestrians and vehicle traffic. May I answer any questions?
Questions for staff?
Thank you.
Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Would the applicant like to address the commission this evening? Please step forward, state your name, and there's a button right in front of the microphone. If you could push that, make sure it's highlighted red.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sean Fujioka, I'm the property owner of this property in question. We purchased this house a little less than 2 years ago. It was a new build built by Meritage Homes. The fence as it exists now is what was built when we purchased the property. We had no issues with the fence and had not heard any issues of the fence until we were applying for permits to install a pool and complete our backyard. And then at that point, it came to our attention that the builder put the fence up out of compliance with the city code. Basically, what we're asking is to maintain the current fence location and height with the exception of that deviation to allow us better access and visibility from our driveway. We have already gotten HOA approval for this fence and also canvassed the immediate neighbors and got several signatures from them, giving us their okay to keep the fence and make the proposed changes at the 6-foot height.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for the applicant?
Do you have any particular landscaping plans for the section that will be exposed to the street when you move, if this were approved and the fence was moved back?
Yes, we do.
And can you give us some?
We have planned a court area or a patio area behind that fence as it currently exists.
And what about the area in front of the fence between the street and the fence area, where the fence area will now, if it were moved, where it would be?
The fence is currently where it is. We do plan to put landscaping in front of the fence.
Okay. And do you have any specific type that you were planning to place in that area?
Well, pending this meeting, we do have a landscape architect that's working with us, and obviously depending on what kind of approval or not we get from this committee, that'll obviously change our plan. So we do have a landscape architect that will be working with us on that.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, I'm confused. So you said on the street side of the fence, you're planning just landscaping. On the back side of the fence, you have plans to do some sort of courtyard or something of that nature. Are you saying the courtyard is on the street side of the fence?
No, it's on our property in the backyard, yes.
Yeah, so that's not going to be visible from the street?
No.
And I presume whatever plantings that you have planned there are going to have to go through the Homeowners Association approvals,
yes.
Anyway.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant? Seeing none, thank you. At this time, I'll open it up to public comment this evening on this agenda item. Anyone from the public wishing to address this item? Seeing none, thank you. I will close public comment, bring it back to the commission for additional questions, deliberations, a motion, however you want to proceed.
I'll begin.
Okay.
I find that the project is subject to, of course, some conditions that are recommended with it, consistent with the general plan. I actually drove through the neighborhood, visited the area, looked at the fence, and it's actually very similar. If you drive over to Caribou Court and along Greenbrae, there's very similar fencing in the area. So it clearly is similar to the current residential development in that area. The only request that I would have is that we basically make this, subject to the applicant providing moderate landscaping, which he has stated he will do, but that we, that includes something similar to the Japanese boxwood or the prostrata that's in the Caribou Court area. So it aligns with the development in the area and the landscaping, which it appears there. HOA is involved in that, but I would want them to bring that back to our Director of Economic and Community Development for review. So with that, I do support the request.
Okay. Commissioner, would you like to go for? Commissioner Martinez, we'd like to go next.
generally, I don't have any concerns. For the record, I was just talking with our city attorney because I live in this neighborhood, but I'm outside the 500-foot rule, and I can't say that I have any skin in the game in this particular project one way or the other. So what I will say is, I think the Homeowners Association is probably going to, deal with the plantings themselves. I appreciate offering that up, but I don't know if that's just a unnecessary step. I'm just curious, Ken, would it be economic development, or would it be another group that would oversee that?
From the standpoint of the approval?
Yeah.
Well, I would defer to Mark. Would that come back to you, Mark, or who would that come back to?
Yeah, normally, that kind of condition would come back and would be worded as to the satisfaction of the Economic and Community Development Department Director.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
I guess the only thing I would add, I wouldn't want to make this too burdensome. The applicant was kind of inherited, you know, a non-compliant situation from the builder, unfortunately. So I don't know how specific we'd need to get. I tend to agree that I think the HOA will probably handle this fine. If it was, you know, if he has a landscape architect already ready to help design, I'm hesitant to dictate too much what it's going to look like. It may be some drought tolerant. It could be just a mix of shrubs and some turf. I'm not exactly sure what it is. So I don't feel the need to do it. I could support it as long as it's not too burdensome. It can, you know, definitely, you know, I mean, I guess we'll need some feedback from staff of what would be enough direction for you to feel like you can comply with the condition, having reviewed a planting plan of some kind or something. So I'm sorry if I forgot what you said in the way of planting or...
Yeah, and my recommendation is simply that we, you know, condition it that they provide some moderate landscaping. So I'm not looking to be specific on the exact type of plants, but moderate, and that they review that with the economic development manager in order for that to be just reviewed so that we're sure that that is completed.
So I guess maybe what I would add to support something like that, unless staff, that's not enough direction, is maybe add the purpose is to not keep it undeveloped, dirt, weedy, you know, what have you. So
if I might, Mr. Chairman, I would suggest if the Planning Commission is inclined to add a condition, something along the lines of the area outside of the fence adjacent to the street shall be landscaped consistent with other similarly situated lots in the neighborhood to the satisfaction of the Economic and Community Development Director. That gives us precedent in the neighborhood to use as a guide and allows maximum flexibility for the homeowner as well.
Yeah, I, for me personally, I think that that's enough to kind of cover what we're talking about here without necessarily the step of having to come back and secure approvals from community and economic development directors. So, you know, I'd be supportive of that and bring that back to Ken and see what your thoughts are.
The only purpose of bringing it back was to ensure that there was a plan in place and that it was completed. So, you know, my thing is when we have approvals and then we have to have code enforcement go back out, it's a lot easier if we just place the requirement that they bring that back as opposed to having to follow up on it after when either you or I drive out and see that it actually wasn't completed. So that was the purpose of conditioning that to require that review.
Maybe I'd be interested in the applicant hearing us deliberate that if – are you understand what direction we're contemplating right now? Maybe if you can come up to the.
I think we may be overcomplicating it. So simply by design, it's a landscape plan that gets implemented, mm-hmm. and that the community development director can check off. Yes, you've
okay.
met the condition
so
to landscape.
What will I need to provide, like plans for my landscape designer or? Would that suffice? And
yes.
Okay.
And I would say I don't even think it needs to have an irrigation plan with it or anything. We're just talking real high-level, you know, turf areas, bushes, you know, what have you. I think what we're mainly looking for is consistency with neighborhood front yard landscaping and making sure it's not a dirt and weed patch. So
okay.
I'm sure you're, with that kind of direction, your landscape architect, and if it's this guy, Jim Luttrell, he can do it.
Okay, yeah, he's been working with us. He did design the front of our house, which is kind of drought resistant and seems like compliant with what you're asking for, so I'm sure he can work something on the fence side.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Broadway, you want to make a motion? I, for the record, am supportive of the project with the inclusion of the condition for landscaping such that it's implemented.
Sure, absolutely. So I will move a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a notice of exemption 4453 Green Bay Road fence deviation U2016-0002, conditioned upon the area outside the fence shall be landscaped similarly to the surrounding areas and subject to review with the Director of Economic and Community Development. And I move a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a conditional use permit allowing a fence height deviation 4453 Green Bay fence deviation U2016-0002.
Okay, we have a motion. I hear a second.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That would be unanimous. Thank you. Thank you for working with us on that one. Okay, moving right on down the agenda to item number 8, which is the West Oaks Self-Storage Design Review DR 2015-0014 and Conditional Use Permit U2015-0007.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The second item for your consideration this evening consists of a design review and conditional use permit, as you mentioned, requesting approval for the construction and operation of an approximately 119,850-square-foot self-storage facility on an approximately 5.6-acre site. The project includes a separate two-story manager's office, an apartment building of approximately 3,750 square feet, and associated landscaping and site work. The site is located at 5800 West Oaks Boulevard. Staff analyzed the project relative to CEQA and prepared a mitigated negative declaration for the project. The required mitigations have been incorporated as conditions of approval for the project. The property is zoned Planned Development Business Professional Commercial Light Industrial, or PD-BP/C/LI, and the underlying general plan designation is Business Professional Commercial Light Industrial, and I won't do those initials again. The proposed self-storage facility is considered acceptable upon approval of a conditional use permit. Staff reviewed the proposed project and found that subject to the approval of this conditional use permit, it would be consistent with both the zoning in the Stanford Ranch General Development Plan and the city's general plan. The project site and surrounding acreage was annexed into the City of Rockland as part of the Rockland West annexation in 1980. The subject site is located within the Stanford Ranch General Development Plan area, as I mentioned, which was originally approved and adopted by the city in 1987. More recently, the site was originally part of Stanford Ranch Parcel 52 until a portion of it was transferred through a lot line adjustment to the United Natural Foods project next door to the west in association with the design review for a parking lot expansion that was approved in 2012. Sorry. Why this is going the wrong direction. Okay, we'll just, we may have to flip around a little bit. I apologize. The facility is comprised of 5 storage buildings plus the manager's office and apartment. Access from the street is provided via a driveway off of West Oaks Boulevard. The second point of access is provided on the northeast side of the project through the adjacent K-Love parking lot. Staff has included a draft condition of approval that requires this secondary access to remain as an emergency vehicle access only. The zoning ordinance allows the Planning Commission to determine off-street parking requirements for uses not listed in the code, such as self-storage facilities. The project proposes a total of 7 parking spaces, 5 customer spaces, and it provides a 2-car garage for the manager's apartment. Staff supports the proposed parking for the project, finding that it is consistent with parking required of other self-storage projects, including the Del Rio self-storage and Rockland self-storage projects in the city. Okay, let's see what slide we go to. Oh, my goodness. I don't know why they're all out of order. I'm so sorry. Without flipping too much. Okay, this is the slide I want. This is the rendering. The slide shows the project generally as it would be viewed from westbound on West Oaks Boulevard. Okay, I'm terribly sorry. We're going to flip back again. Oh, my gosh. I don't know how these got like this. I do apologize. Okay, we're on the elevations. The proposed buildings are a mix of stucco and split-face CMU block. Traditional brick is used for the storage building pilasters and as wall accents on the office and apartment building. The storage building walls are broken up by the brick pilasters and by stucco walls with trellis features. The office and apartment building employs varying roof lines, wall planes, and window patterns to provide interest and scale. Staff finds the proposed architecture for the facility consistent with the citywide design review guidelines. Let me go to the next slide for you. Oh. This shows the north and west elevations. Okay, now I think I know which direction to go for the color and material boards. Here are a quick peek at the color and material boards, and I do have the physical boards here should you wish to have a look at them in person. This shows the split face and the brick, as well as the metal roofing, and these are the colors and the storefront system being used. Okay, I'm not sure which way to go now, so I think we're going to flip. Okay. Much of the project south, which is the front facing West Oaks Boulevard, east and west sides are walled by the storage buildings themselves. The entire north side of the facility is the rear wall of Building B. A sound wall was constructed as part of the Two Oaks subdivision along the project site's north property line. Staff was concerned about the storage building walls creating spaces between existing and future walls and fences that would be generally accessible but hidden from public view and could become nuisance areas. For that reason, staff has included draft conditions of approval that provide for tubular steel fencing and gates at the rear corners of Building B that will allow for authorized access to perform maintenance and for emergency personnel. Staff also included a condition to require, a fence and gate stub should the UNFI project go forward with a wall on the west side of the property. So that would make the area between the future wall on UNFI's property and the west wall of Building B have controlled access. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm really not sure which way to go. There. This is the landscape plan. It shows that the project proposes a mix of trees, shrubs, and ground covers throughout the site. The proposed landscaping will provide screening and interest along the West Oaks Boulevard frontage, as well as trees along the west and east sides that will help further break up the long walls of the storage buildings. Trees and ground cover consistent with that required for the 2-acre subdivision behind the Caleb office buildings is proposed on the existing fill slope at the rear of the facility. The proposed landscaping is found to be consistent with the standards set forth in the Rockland Design Review Guidelines. Okay. Staff finds that the use site design, including the circulation and landscaping and architecture of the proposed facility, are compatible with the surrounding residential and commercial development. With that, may I answer any questions?
Okay, now it's time for questions for staff. I have one relative to United Natural Foods being on the Planning Commission when we approved that plan. What's the status of that plan? Is there any potential for conflict with what occurs in that plan and the mini storage and landscaping? I can't recall exactly what was occurring in there. It was more truck activity, as I recall.
Yeah, the UNFI acquired that sliver of property to expand their truck parking area. So along the common boundary with this project site, there was to be a fence and some landscaping. The last we heard, UNFI had put this expansion on hold. At this point, the entitlement is still valid, so they have the option of moving forward. They do own the property, so at some point they will do something with it. Whether it's the original plan or something else, but there should be no conflicts with this project. And as Dara pointed out, we have included a provision to make sure that the area on the west side of Building B if and when that wall goes in on UNFI, that they will put a fence across there to control access so that doesn't become a long, out of sight, out of mind area for kids, et cetera.
Okay. Thank you. I'll probably have other questions, but I'll turn it over to you all for questions. Any other questions for staff?
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask who owned the property, that sliver of property in between, and what the intended purpose was. But I do have one additional question, Dara. The elevation change between West Oaks and the actual entry, I'll say, to the development, do you know approximately how much we're talking about?
I'll look.
It looks like it's, I'd say, relatively steep. I mean, there's quite a bit of grade change between.
And that, while you're looking, you can ponder this because it's related. You know, looking at that site, standing in front of it, you know, that, and this may be more so a question for the applicant. That's a lot of turn movements for somebody with a trailer trying to come and go. And you know, there may be a design option that we might want to discuss relative to that building that, as you turn in and then have to make a 90 and then another 90 to get into the facility, shortening up that one building and providing straight access into a drive aisle. It may not be that simple due to grades, but just as a design option.
So in looking at the grading plan, which is packet page 142 for you, just looking at the contour lines at the southwest corner, the last contour line shown that is roughly approximate at the property line and would be back of sidewalk or actually close because there's a little bit of right-of-way landscaping included, is down at 160 feet. And by the time you get up to the back of the office and apartment, it's 174. So that's 14 feet difference just from the back of sidewalk roughly to the back of the apartment building on that corner. And it looks like the way they're proposing to do this, those topo lines are pretty equidistant. So it seems to be about 12 to 14 feet all the way across the frontage of West Oaks. So I know we did look at that entry. Staff asked for some adjustments to the left turn pocket. Fire has reviewed this plan and found this access acceptable. In fact, we went back and forth a little bit, making sure some of Fire's other concerns were addressed. So they are comfortable with this layout as it is.
Did that get to your question?
Yeah, that's fine. Thanks.
I think I'll leave my question to the applicant relative to just user friendliness of pulling in there with a trailer, because most people are coming in with trailers right to drop off stuff and challenging.
So. City engineer might be able to get more into some of the elevation changes too.
Okay.
One question. Dara, hours of operation, I don't know if I saw that anywhere. Is it 24-hour or...
I believe that's what the assumption is that authorized access would be by key code and okay, tenants could access the contents of their site.
So was there any concern, since it does back up to some homes on a portion of the rear? I mean, I don't know if people don't generally go real late at night, but when it's quiet and I'm assuming they're roll-up doors and maybe a big truck and it beeps when it backs up. That's one of the things I look at when you get a use permit is compatibility. And I didn't really see a compatibility analysis in the staff report. So, maybe we can leave that for the applicant, but that is a concern I have when it's late, you know, how it's going to be used and controlled.
Again, still looking on the grading plan, which is, again, page 142, gosh, this is really bad because I can't quite see it, so someone might be able to jump in with these numbers, but it is dimensioned from the back of the storage building to the property line. I can't quite make out what that dimension is. And it backs up to basically one, does approximately 30 feet, approximately 30 feet from the back of Building B to the property line where the sound wall is constructed, and there's quite a bit of grade change, too. That's, what, 8 or 9 feet, approximately?
Yeah, it looks like 30 feet between the back of the building and the property line, and I want to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, roughly, feet. The residences are higher than
correct.
Yeah,
the
no,
buildings.
Absolutely. I see it, and it seems like it's just that one corner lot near Monroe Court, because then you have the park on the southwest side, I guess. Anyways, I'll ask the applicant. It was just a concern to me, even if it's one home and there's some separation and there is a wall, when it's quiet at night, you can hear everything. So just leave that there for now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, other questions for staff before we move on? Seeing none, okay. At this time, I'd like to ask the applicant to come forward to address the commission. When you do, please state your name for the record and make sure the little red light is highlighted next to the base of the microphone.
Okay, it's highlighted. Good evening. My name is Ryan Smith. I represent the West Oak Self-Storage Project. Here to answer any questions. I can answer yours.
Yeah.
So our business hours, the office is open 9 to 5, 7 days a week. The gate hours are 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay.
So we don't let anybody on the property after 7 p.m. It's a ghost town.
So would you have a problem if we added a condition to the use permit limiting the hours to the time?
Not at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Dara, if you could go to one of the sections that shows the overall plan view so they can see the buildings in reference to the entry.
The sections?
Maybe an overhead look at the buildings. That one's perfect. So I get the grading out there. The world is not flat, unfortunately. In this case, it's challenging to get up. Any concerns with those turn radiuses as you come in, and especially when you enter, you run right into basically a building? I was thinking about actually if it worked out from a grade perspective, if you'd considered where the landscape is, I guess, on the north side of that entry, right as you come in, if you shortened up that building to provide access going straight down that second drive aisle on the plan, if that would make more sense, or if it's just grade restricted in there, and that's why you've come all the way down as far as possible.
Right. That's, if even you get up to the site, the grade, the site is very, very difficult from the very back to the front. I mean, it's almost 30 feet in elevation. So this was the most feasible way for us to grade it and make it work. Obviously, turning radiuses are very important to us. We don't want trucks hitting our buildings. So we accommodate for all the big trailers, boats, people that aren't used to pulling stuff. They use self-storage. They hit buildings. And we've also met with the fire department, met all their requirements for turning radiuses for fire trucks. Unfortunately, the grades kind of justified and dictated where we approach the site, how we access it, without making that driveway a 12 or 15% slope. I wish we could have put it on the other side. It's a little bit higher of an elevation, but it's just it's a very difficult site to work with. So.
Okay. Thank you.
That answers your question. Yeah.
Other questions for the applicant?
I'll jump in. Derek, can we go back to the rendering, I think, from the street view of West Oaks Boulevard? Yeah, this one here. I know in some of the elevations you guys had some green screen, trellis-type structures, that sort of thing, to kind of allow for, I'll say, some enhanced vocabulary on this particular elevation. Was there any thought given to this particular elevation, considering that is the front entry? I know there's the element there in the center, which is, I'll say, a feature of the wall, but any additional thoughts about how you might treat that?
Yeah, we did add the architectural, I guess it kind of mimics the office building right in the center. And then, of course, we have used mixed materials, the brick as well as the stucco, to mix it up along with the pilasters. And then, of course, all the trellises are going to have vines growing on it to even break it up some more. So there will be a couple different types of material.
Are there trellises on this particular elevation or no? Or are you saying, are you referring to the elements of the feature there in the center?
I guess, yeah, not on the south elevation facing West Oaks. That does not have yet.
Yeah, where do we have the trellis features? Those are
that's on the
to...
east elevation.
So east and west, or west elevation.
Yeah.
So that's really facing, that would be facing the trucking center parking area that we talked about earlier.
Right, and then it's correct. So yeah, we felt that that's usually it would be sufficient to break up that wall, and then it also being as height elevation, most people driving down West Oaks, they're going to mainly see from the rendering, hopefully a lot of the landscaping. That wall is going to be up so high, almost 12 feet from street level. So we felt that helped break it up to make it so you're not looking at a straight wall.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, at this time, I will open up to the public. So if there's anyone from the public wishing to address the commission on this item this evening, going once, going twice, seeing none, I will close it to the public, bring it back to the commission for deliberations, additional questions. Perhaps our director has a question. Or direction, okay. So who would like to begin? I do have one requested change, and it actually shows up on two agenda items this evening, but on packet page 127, item number 14 is our standard indemnity clause, and it always says the subdivider. If we change that out to the applicant, since no one's subdividing anything here, that would be more consistent with the application. Nobody's looking. Nobody's anxious.
So generally speaking, I am supportive of the project with respect to this location and its use, in particular with the adjacencies that we have here in mind. I like the idea of conditioning a limitation to the hours. I think that makes sense. I think the only heartburn that I had was with respect to this wall and just trying to do any enhancement that we can. I don't know if any other commissioners have any concerns about that necessarily, but you know, that is going to be the front. I think by virtue of the fact that it's elevated, it's actually a little bit more prominent on the street rather than being obscured by the landscape. But nevertheless, if that's something that the other commissioners don't find of interest, then I can leave that.
Commissioner Broadway?
I just want to clarify. So, Commissioner Whitmore, you're referencing the darker brick areas and thinking that those could be enhanced through some method.
Yeah, my thought is that, you know, if we take the same trellis treatments that we had on the west side there and simply apply those in those sections on the south side, that that's going to give further texture and, you know, the ability for more of a green screen, some climbing vine, something of that nature to kind of obscure that, make that more palatable. But, you know, I don't want to overdo it necessarily either and try to suggest that we're, you know, we're trying to hide something back behind a green screen. So, you know, again, that was the only thing that I had keyed into when I looked at this design. But other than that, overall, the design, relay, I think, you know, there probably are some concerns with relative to, you know, how you get up there. And I don't know if there's a solution for that, quite frankly. You know, with the grade change that we have, and I think dealing with it with the way they've dealt with it, you know, unless you want a very extreme slope getting up to the front entry, I think this is the best way to do it.
Okay.
Well, you know, I certainly I support the project, and subject, of course, to the conditional approval. I agree in relationship to the fronting, and the reference was made relative to the height differential between the road. And while the landscaping will help obscure a portion of that, there's still a fairly sizable amount of blank space. So the trellis, I certainly could support a requirement that there be trellis included in the fronting of the building. Beyond that, the applicant's hours and willingness to allow that to be a condition of approval certainly moves me to find that it is consistent with the existing general plan and the zoning pursuant to the Stamford Ranch General Development Plan, and therefore, again, subject to the recommended conditions of approval, I support the project.
Mr. Martinez.
Well, I'll echo the comments made by fellow commissioners. Don't need to go over it. I think it'll be one of the nicest storage facilities around. So I'm prepared to make a motion. Unless you've said your piece, right?
Actually add in just for a little bit of clarification. I too support the project. I find that it actually will provide a buffer between the yet-to-be-built use at United Natural Foods and the office space and even to some degree the residential. So that'll be helpful. And it's consistent with the general plan and zoning for the city with the findings and conditions of approval under the use permit. Relative to the one change I mentioned, it's on packet page 127, item number 14, changing subdivider to applicant. And then with the hours of operation, I don't know what my fellow commissioners' thoughts would be, but from an office limitation, I wouldn't see limiting office use for these facilities because they do provide security, but I would agree with the 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. gate operation hours is the one limitation I would like to see. With that, I support the project and would look for a motion.
Okay. So I move that the commission approve a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a mitigated negative declaration of environmental impacts. West Oaks Self-Storage, DR 2015-0014, use permit U 2015-007. I move that the commission approve resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a design review for West Oaks Self-Storage, DR 2015-0014. And was that condition on the design review? The use permit. Let's see.
I think it could be either, correct?
On the 120, so that with the indemnification condition clarified to refer to applicant rather than subdivider. That's okay. And then we move approval of resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a conditional use permit. Rather, let me step back for a second on the design review. To include the trellis features on the front south elevation where the darker stone material is shown. So that's kind of equidistant from the centerpiece and the outside walls. And furthermore, move that the commission approve resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a conditional use permit to allow the operation of a self-storage facility in a PDBPCLI zone, West Oak Self-Storage, U 2015-007, with the addition of a condition to limit gate operation hours from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily.
I will second.
So we have a motion and a second. Any additional clarification from staff on the motion? Are we good? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And that was unanimous by my count. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. Our next public hearing agenda item this evening is item number 9, the Rockland Academy Phase 2 Design Review DR 2015-0019 and Conditional Use Permit U 2015-0010.
And before we get started, I need to state for the record that I'm going to have to recuse myself from this agenda item. I am employed with BCA Architects, and BCA is representing the applicant. Mr. John Foggy is the building owner in this particular case. Since it's the last item on the agenda, I'm going to depart And I will catch up with my fellow commissioners at the next commission meeting.
You are excused.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This project is a request for approval of a design review and conditional use permit to expand the previously approved Rockland Academy Phase 1 project in the Rockland 65 Commerce Center by converting an existing two-story office building of approximately 18,905 square feet to allow for the expansion of the campus and of the school's preschool and pre-kindergarten through eighth grade enrollment up to 1,380 students. The expansion includes seven classrooms, associated instructional space, a two-story gym, and multipurpose room. Proposed site modifications would accommodate new traffic circulation and create two courtyards between the three buildings and the main playground. Phase one was approved for two buildings at 6550 and 6552 Lone Tree in May of 2014, with a maximum enrollment of 1,200 students. A blue memo was published on Friday, and hard copies have been provided to you this evening. I will discuss its contents in more detail later in my report. Also, a second memo with correspondence from the property manager of the adjacent Blue Oaks Town Center. She was not able to attend this evening and sent that correspondence in this afternoon, so that just came in to us. We've provided you hard copies for that. The site is located at 6554 Lone Tree Boulevard. It is the third building of the three at the back of Rockland 65 Commerce Center. Staff analyzed the project relative to CEQA and prepared a mitigated negative declaration for the project. The required mitigations have been incorporated as conditions of approval for the project. Okay, let's see if I can do it this time. I think the mouse got reprogrammed. I'm not quite sure what's happening. Okay, I beg your pardon, but we're going to have to flip around a little bit again.
All right, we'll bear with you.
Thank you.
It's technology. For bearing with me. Unfortunately, or fortunately.
Somehow they're displaying back in backwards order. Yeah. I'm flabbergasted. Okay, but I think I figured it out now, so maybe I won't flip as much.
Well, the good news is they read correctly on the screen, so they're not...
Not flipped. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so this is the site plan. Let me just continue on here. The property is zoned plan development, business, professional, commercial, light industrial, and the underlying general plan designation is retail commercial. The proposed school expansion is considered acceptable upon approval of a conditional use permit. Staff reviewed the proposed project and found that subject to the draft conditions of approval provided in the resolutions and as amended in the first blue memo, the expanded school would be compatible with the surrounding commercial and residential zoning, residential development. Okay, let's... Nope. Okay, I think I've got it. This slide shows some of the existing landscaping and parking lot views for reference. The proposed expansion of the school would occupy the third office building at 6554 Lone Tree and include the creation of a smaller courtyard between 6552 and 6554, which is shown in the middle upper photograph. And also a courtyard would be created between the existing main playground area and between building 6552 and 6554. Portions of the existing landscaping, sidewalks, and common shared parking area would be modified to create the fenced courtyards and additional student loading zones. I will point those out when we get back to a site plan. The proposed gates will be closed during school hours to allow the courtyards to function as part of the campus and as additional outdoor space for the students. The gates will remain open to allow through circulation and emergency access during non-school hours. The gates are required to be equipped with Knox boxes for emergency access when closed. Floor plans, yay! The building would be modified with interior tenant improvements to create seven classrooms and associated educational spaces, along with administrative and operational areas that include offices and a reception area. The expansion would also add a third gymnasium and multipurpose room to the school. No exterior no visible exterior changes to the building are proposed. The total maximum enrollment for Rockland Academy as proposed and as draft conditions would allow 1,380 students. The maximum number of faculty and staff would be 88. The proposed school expansion was analyzed based on the increase from the previously approved maximum enrollment of 1,200 students and 67 staff with regards to parking and on-site and off-site traffic circulation. Staff supports the proposed parking for this project, finding it is consistent with the required parking required of other. Supports the proposed parking for this project, and I'll discuss that in just a moment. The city does not have specific parking standards for the preschools or elementary schools. Typically, preschools have been approved using the standard office commercial off-street parking ratio of one space per 200 square feet of floor area, particularly when they have been sited in existing commercial centers. Section 17.66.150 of the zoning ordinance does not list parking requirements for elementary schools, but does require that junior high schools provide at least one parking space for every three seats in the main auditorium or multipurpose room. Because the school's enrollment is comprised of more elementary and middle school age children than preschool students, staff determined that the junior high school parking requirement was appropriate. Required parking for the school has been calculated based on the proposed combined multipurpose room seating, including phase one. With phase one, parking was based on seating of 352 for both buildings. That's comprised of 240 seats at 6550 and 112 seats at 6552 Lone Tree Boulevard. Phase one was required to have 118 spaces, and the school provided 283 spaces, thus giving them a surplus, if you will, of 165 spaces. Phase two parking is based on 6554 Lone Tree's multipurpose room, providing for an additional 303 seats, and therefore is required to have 101 spaces. In total, phases one and phase two of the school are required to provide 219 spaces. Parking lot modifications to relocate the ADA parking spaces located in front of buildings 6552 and 6554 and create additional student loading zones reduce the total available parking spaces by 36, from 283 spaces to 247 spaces. So the school continues to exceed the minimum parking requirement and does so by 28 spaces with phase two. On this site plan, I'll take a moment to show where the drop-off and pickup areas are, the student loading zones will be. The cursor isn't changing to a pointer. Existing loading zones are here on the north side of 6550, here and here. This project requests to add this one on the west side of the building. This project also proposes to add a loading zone in front of 6554. And finally, moving south, the two existing loading areas on the south side of 6552 and 6554 were previously approved. To address the potential for on- and off-site circulation and traffic impacts, a mitigation measure has been applied to the project through conditions of approval, which requires the school to annually submit, prior to each school year, a traffic management and signal timing plan, which I'm going to refer to for brevity as the traffic plan, for city review and approval. The traffic plan will include, in part, student enrollment numbers for each class level, bell schedules, ingress and egress routes for each class level, and placement of traffic control monitors, that is, school staff, and signs and devices. The condition requires the school to work with the city to revise the plan during the school year if the approved plan has been determined to not be working as expected. The blue memo provides some refined language to this condition number 3 of the conditional use permit. It's intended to address the concerns voiced by RC Willie specifically and to provide additional direction to the school that will allow both the school and the city to monitor and adjust operations relative to compliance and impacting any surrounding properties. The underlying passages in the blue memo are those proposed to be added to the draft condition in the resolution. The blue memo also provides an additional fence exhibit to be added to the design review resolution as Exhibit B to illustrate the approximate location of the fence to be constructed between the school parking lot and R.C. Willie's parking lot that is intended to prevent parents from parking on the R.C. Willie parking lot and cutting through the landscaping into the into the school's parking lot. Current circulation for the school and proposed circulation for the school has been staggered based on bell schedules and based on number of students. There have been two entries and exits off of Lone Tree Boulevard. As was previously approved, one of them is off of Adams along the main driveway of Rockland 65 Commerce Center, right where the hand is. And then the other circulation route, depending on which building it's coming from and the students and the bell schedule, will come past 6554, turn east, and then come through the shared driveway intersection with R.C. Willie, and then continue to proceed east, then turn south on the main driveway of the Blue Oaks Town Center, and eventually make another left-hand turn out to Lone Tree from Redwood, which is just off the site plan.
There, the blue memo number two covers that, I believe. Is that correct?
Those exhibits are excerpted from the traffic study and do show some of those circulation routes, yes.
Thank you,
Mark. In addition, the conditions that the draft conditions that staff are proposing stipulate that the city will monitor the impacts to the identified intersections in the vicinity of the school and may direct the school to prepare and implement a, quote, time of day and, quote, signal timing analysis to alleviate any identified circulation problems. Finally, when the student enrollment exceeds 1,200 students, the school shall coordinate with the city to provide an overlap phase at the intersection of Lone Tree Boulevard and Redwood Drive. The existing common parking areas around the school will remain largely unchanged, except for the addition of the loading zones, as I previously indicated, and the relocation of several existing ADA parking spaces near 6552 and 6554 Lone Tree. The proposed loading zones with this project are similar to those approved with the previous phase. This slide is showing the existing site plan in the area of 6552 and 6554, showing what's proposed for demolition. And then this slide shows the proposed new site plan with the new loading zone in front of 6554, the ADA spaces moved over, and some of the changes to the landscaping associated with those changes, including the removal of two of the parking lot shade trees in the vicinity of the relocated ADA spaces. Staff has included a draft condition of approval for these two trees to be replaced in another area that's appropriate. Staff has also included a draft condition of approval to ensure that the additional fencing and gates are consistent with the existing fencing around the play areas, the additional fencing to create those courtyards. Most of the changes to 6554 Lone Tree to accommodate the school's use will be interior demolition and tenant improvements, as I mentioned. Bless you. The exterior changes are limited to the installation of mechanical equipment on the roof. The proposed mechanical equipment will be installed within the existing roof well and will be screened from view by the roofs as shown by these sections provided on sheet A5 of Exhibit A. The proposed building modifications are consistent with the citywide design review guidelines for screening of mechanical equipment, and staff has included the standard condition of approval for equipment screening. Subject to the draft conditions of approval, including the revised Condition 3 for the use permit and Condition 2A for the design review resolutions, staff finds the use, building modifications, and site modifications, including circulation and landscaping, to be compatible with the surrounding residential and commercial development. May I answer any questions at this time?
Questions for staff.
So, Dara, I know you kind of went over the circulation. I don't know how I missed it, but I didn't see this exhibit that was in the blue memo with us this evening that is color-coded. Can you, if this shows it, help me understand, is like our loop 1 and 2 what we previously approved and 3 and 4 is what's been being sought, or just various analysis that was done on these? Can you kind of help me understand?
So these were routes that were included in the traffic study that was prepared by Katie Anderson and Associates. They analyzed several bell schedules and different circulation patterns based on grades and those bell schedules. Based on these hypothetical circulation patterns, we crafted the condition that requires the traffic plan. We didn't want to hold the school to these specific circulation patterns. That happened with the first use permit. They showed us circulation routes, and we assumed that those would be, and we required that those would be the circulation routes. And they found in the 2 years that they've been open that they needed to make adjustments. And they went ahead and did make some of those adjustments. Some of the adjustments are now part of what they're coming back to us for, but staff, in looking at it, decided it didn't make too much sense to impose these kinds of circulation routes specifically on the school because things could change. As enrollment goes up or down, perhaps, we wanted to give them the maximum flexibility for bell schedules, for working through circulation, for maximizing the loading zones for the bell schedules, and depending on what grades are exiting or entering the buildings at a given time. So that's why we crafted that condition. The intention is to give the school the maximum flexibility, as well as the school maximum or the city maximum flexibility, to find solutions that will work and have minimal to no impacts on the surrounding properties and businesses.
Just kind of following up on that, with I'm assuming the property management, the blue memo was based on the letter email from the property manager where R.C. Willie resides. So it's a different property management company that operates the business park?
That's correct. R.C. Willie owns their own parcel.
Okay.
But they operate in conjunction. The property manager, Janet Grisante, mentioned something in her email about an OEA, which staff is not entirely sure what that was. We didn't have an opportunity to follow up with Janet before the hearing. I believe Tammy Cooper's here. Yes. Tammy Cooper's here. She's the manager of R.C. Willie, so she may be able to enlighten us a bit more on that. And I know that she and the school have since had a communication since the blue memo was published. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll definitely have a follow-up. Thank you for following up on your initial question, because it was relating to my same question relative to traffic in this area, utilizing perhaps other parcels and properties and how all that's working and how we're conditioning that to work in kind of a complicated and constrained environment. So any other questions on that item? Sure.
Just a quick question. So the project before us encompasses 18,905 square feet, correct?
That's correct. It's the addition of the third office building.
And how much of the existing business professional space is incorporated into the existing location? Do you know, so total with the 18,905, what will be the total square footage of space that is being utilized by the school?
I don't know that number without doing some research and looking up to see what the original approvals were for.
Okay, and my apologies, I should have posed that question before the meeting. I'm going to put you on the spot. That wasn't my intent.
No, that's quite all right. It's a good question. I don't know the numbers. I would imagine that the school's architect and or the administrators might have that information.
Okay, great. And really my question, because we do reference the strategic plan and the economic impact, is wanting to understand, you know, what percentage of the 253,000 square feet of office and professional space that we have there is currently utilized by the school. If we're tying this back to our strategic plan, how much business and commercial space is being utilized by the school, which is much different from a general plan perspective in relationship to how it contributes. So, okay. That's all I have.
Okay. You stated relative to the condition on fencing that that's going to prevent parents from parking, but there's no fence across because we're, in theory, utilizing that the blue memo for circulation between those two areas. So it's really, is it more so intended as a structural barrier to walking across that landscape sidewalk area?
Correct. And I may be misunderstanding, but just to clarify, the colored circulation route exhibit that's attached to the second blue memo was the attachment to Janet Cristaldi's email. It's not intended to be an exhibit as part of the entitlement. It was her attachment in reference to her correspondence to us.
I apologize. I should have stated that differently.
Okay. I
agree. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, the fencing condition itself, that is intended as more so a psychological barrier perhaps to having to, you know, currently somebody could skip across the landscaped area versus walking all the way around the fence through the access area between the two parking lots.
Correct. According to Tammy Cooper, that is happening.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then if you could go back to your description of the loading zones, I wasn't clear on what's currently permitted and occurring versus what is proposed?
So the loading areas that were originally approved include these two on the north side of 6550 and this one on the south side of 6552.
Okay.
So they are proposing to add the one on the west side here, a smaller one in front of 6554, and a larger one on the south side of 6554.
Okay. Thank you. I might have a follow-up question for the applicants relative to how those load and unload and where they go from there. So, any other questions?
Not for staff.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to ask the applicant to come forward. If they wish to, state your name for the record and make sure the red button in front of the mic stand is highlighted.
It is. My name is Stephen Merck. I'm the architect with BCA Architects. I have here with me the principal of Rockland Academy, Jelaine Antoon, and the property owner, John Foggy. We're all representing the property together. The one thing I would like to say, though, is that they the property owner, the current property owner, has a very good relationship with the surrounding folks. They've been interactive, and anything that's come up, they have reacted to and actually have addressed. And for 2 years, they've not had any complaints in their existing facilities. And because I think it's because of the proactive approach to this. I'm going to let Jelaine explain some of the circulation patterns that as part what you're not seeing here as part of the exhibit is that we did submit a fairly significant review of or a series of graphics that showed all the different how things were going through, where the monitors are placed, where the cones were going to be placed. There's a lot of active involvement in bringing the traffic through the site that I think maybe is not apparent by looking at a basic diagram like this. So I will let Jill. Let me let John speak here. He's the owner. And then I'm gonna go ahead and let Jill speak to the to the effect.
As he mentioned, they've been there almost 2 years, and we've always been able to work out any issues that come up together. In fact, we're working so closely till I've actually moved my office right next door to where they're going to be. And if any issues come up, I'm right there to help them work it out. Right now, we don't really have any. Everything that's presented to you people, we work together to put it together. So I think we're going to be okay with everything that's presented to you. Okay.
Okay.
Like Steve said, I'm Jelaine Antoon. I'm the principal at Rockland Academy Gateway. And I actually first wanted to take a minute to say thank you to you all for all of your partnership. and the support that we've had from you and the part that you've played in helping us open our school. We have had a very successful first 2 years, and we have just over 1,000 students there that are thriving and performing very well academically and learning to become responsible and respectful citizens and members of our community. So we're thrilled to be able to offer Rockland Academy's educational program to more families in Rockland and the surrounding area, and are very proud of our students and what they've been able to do, and we hope that as stakeholders in our school, you are as well. So I am happy to answer any questions about the school, our program, our operations, the logistics in getting to and from and in and out of the building. So, yep, I'm absolutely happy to answer any of those questions.
Okay. Questions for the applicant?
Okay, so you actually touched on one of my questions. It was relating to your number of students, and you stated you're just over about 1,000 currently. Yeah,
currently 1,043 students.
Okay, and this will enable you to increase that number to approximately 1,380,
correct,
I believe, with this expansion. Okay, so that would add another 380 students or so.
Yeah, and I guess I should add 1,043 is kindergarten through grade 7 currently, so that did not include the preschool students, which Robin is 74 preschool students.
Okay. Great. Okay. Just trying to get a sense for the additional number of trips you would potentially
have.
Yeah,
so, and I will just say, so we do have 120 kindergartners that are incoming next year, and of those 120 new students, all but 8 of them are already existing families to the school. So while it seems like it's a lot more students, only 8 of them are additional cars, if you will, of those 120 kindergarten students. So that does make a difference that we're bringing in mostly students of our currently enrolled families already with the additional students.
Okay, great. Another question, the parking. So your phase one, you needed to have 118 spaces. You provided 283, so there was quite a surplus. How was that parking sufficient? Were there any challenges that have been encountered to date with the phase one parking? So have you encountered any challenges with that based on what you have available, even though you did have a surplus?
We have not had any problems with parking at all. Our staff and faculty park along the field on the north part of the property so that we don't have people parking during traffic areas and needing to back out. So we save the easy access parking for our parents who come in. And being in elementary school, we do have parents who come in to volunteer at the school, but they don't park for long periods of time. So we've not had any problems with parking.
Okay, and I knew the letter from R.C. Willie was concerned about, expressed concern about individuals parking in their lot and, of course, traveling over the landscape area, which would occur, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I'll let you answer that, but would occur during what period of time that you would think that that would occur? And I know you have a condition that's been added to place a fence there or a gated area there to prevent that, but I'll let you answer.
Tammy Cooper has been a wonderful partner for us, and she's been very supportive and very she's been very communicative with us when there are issues. So so that's been a great working relationship. So we have had conversations about this. I do correspond with my families frequently when there are issues that come up, and I make sure that when it has to do with R.C. Willie or whatever business, that those people are in the loop as well and what I am communicating. I know that our concerns are twofold. It is the landscaping for sure, but it's also their customer loading dock, and it is a place where there are trucks that go into that parking lot. And so when our parents park back there, they do tend to, or kids go up to meet them through the landscape, but it's also a safety concern for what that parking lot in that area is intended to be used for. So I know that there are, when I communicate something and I sent out a phone blast just recently reminding parents of our expectations, it does tend to go down. We try to have administrators or other staff monitoring that area, but we do have a small percentage of our parents who like to park back there. So this, I do think that will help mitigate that situation.
So I'm going to jump back just for a moment to the parking. So with the enhancements that you are presenting to us with this project, it will reduce the number of parking spaces while increasing the number of students and so basic trips. But you indicated really hadn't experienced a challenge. I understand. I have four children of my own, so I understand how it works when you work in the classroom, and of course your staffing numbers you provided, so thank you for that. Do you foresee any challenges because the enhancements will reduce the number from what you currently have, even though it's above the requirement?
I don't. I mean, that's a very small number of events that we might have where we would have a large number of people at the campus at the same time, you know, something like an open house. And we do provide our parents different options for where they can park if we are expecting a large number of cars. But again, with those events so far, we've had no issues with parking. So I don't anticipate that being a problem.
Okay. Thank you. The public outreach, I believe there was some. Can you give me a sense? I know that we received two blue memos, which generally means we received the feedback after the packet for us has been presented both to us and to the public. Can you give us a sense for the type of outreach, when it occurred, and any type of feedback that you may have received that was not included?
We have, like I said, open communication with our business neighbors, and we do offer them, we have a school business partnership. So our relationships with the neighbors in the business park have been very positive. John and Jeff Seberg that have reached out to other concerns. We did hear concerns about traffic going too quickly down Adams, and we recently did put in some speed limit signs to remind parents to slow down and some slow school signs, so which I think does help remind parents of that. But really, other than what you received, we didn't hear many other concerns at all.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. So other questions?
Yeah, I just I keep harping on this, but I don't know, Dara, if we can give control of the mouse. But, you know, you suggested that you had a more comprehensive plan with where monitors are stationed and maybe where you cone off areas and stuff. Can you just give me kind of an overview of, you know, this is where the preschool area is or the kids under whatever, sixth grade, wherever they are located. Mm-hmm. This is where school starts. It's staggered 30 minutes, so between 7 and 8 or what have you. And just kind of walk me through a typical day.
You should come shadow me someday. I mean, I think.
And I could work for you and volunteer and be a monitor.
Exactly.
But just I want to kind of get a feel for just what a typical day is. And then maybe you can do a little editorial where appropriate. Like, we found that this was an issue early on, so we coned off this area where we directed more traffic this way, and that kind of was the solution. Or just kind of help me, because it probably evolved over time. Some things work, some things didn't. You made adjustments. You have something that you think works. I think typically it's not uncommon to have a minority of parents who just, they're going to do their own thing. They're going to get in the back way, whatever, drop off. They're in a hurry, what have you. So can you just kind of give me that just real high-level overview of how you see things coming in and out and working over time?
Yes, and I think when I'm done being a principal, I might open a school traffic consulting business.
Okay.
Because it actually goes very smoothly. So we have three different start and end times to the school, so three schedules. Students in kindergarten through fifth grade are either on Schedule A or Schedule B. So the drop-off time starts at 7:35, we open the gates, and the two routes that you see, so that one goes around the school, the other one goes around the other way, happen during that time. So we've taken our school,
Are those loop one and two in this exhibit, or, Dara, I don't know if we can give her the mouse control or...
loop one and two.
Oh, okay.
I'll do my best to follow along.
Okay.
All right, ready? Got this? So,
okay.
Starting at 7:35. So we've essentially taken our school, we've split it into three different schedules, and then those schedules we've split into two different traffic areas. So starting at 7:35, loop one and loop two are followed. And students are dropped off in those two different areas and then enter the school. That drop-off is from 7:35, and school starts at 7:50. So typically there's like a little lull around 7:45 to 7:55 when Schedule B, so that's students in kindergarten through fifth grade, the other half of them, arrive to start their day following those same loops. So that their school day starts at 8:10. And then those two schedules release at either 2:50 or 3:10. I've been clocking the traffic. We have those kids cleared out in 9 minutes or less each schedule. So there, again, is a break in time when there's no traffic. Our 6th, 7th, and then next year 8th grade students, they start school at 8:30 and leave at 3:30. We do have a large number of siblings who come with their Schedule B kids. So some of them come and they hang out in what we call a zero period before school. The rest of them arrive between 8:15 and 8:30 following loop three and loop four because of the buildings and parts of the buildings that they occupy. So they are dismissed from school at 3:30, and that one goes very quickly as well. The preschool has their students come all at different times because there are different, some of them are, it's a daycare for some. They come earlier when the parents go to work, or they're part of the preschool program. And their entrance is at the south side of 6552 Lone Tree. So those parents park and walk their students to class. Our kindergartners, the proposed loading zone to the west of the building is really for our kindergarten students. Their classrooms are right there at that wing, and the teachers walk them out. Parents come at either 1:20 or 1:40, Schedule A or Schedule B, park their cars and come and pick up their students from their teacher in that area at that side of the building. So that's really the only time of day or the only students that will be at that loading area as well.
And then along, let's say, the Adams Drive entry, you have one or two monitors or volunteers that are kind of directing traffic?
Yeah,
I'm sure.
We have staff that are out there monitoring traffic. One is at the corner where you see the jog kind of into R.C. Willie's parking lot. There's a building on the corner, and that's kind of a blind corner, so we have someone who's posted at that spot just kind of keeping an eye on things. And then we have crosswalk attendants at crosswalks and staff and parent volunteers at all of the drop-off and pickup areas helping students to get out of their cars. So we also have 6th and 7th grade students who apply to be traffic monitors, and they help open the doors for students, say good morning to the younger kids, help them get their backpacks out to start their day, which really does help speed up the process. At the pickup time, this is one change that we did make this year. Rather than having teachers scheduled to oversee large groups of students at the pickup time, every teacher stays with their class, so they have a smaller number of students. And we've actually explicitly taught the students the expectations that we have for their behavior at pickup, so they are expected to, and their teachers are holding them accountable to be watching for their cars, which has really sped up the process as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
I'm going to ask you to explain one other item that came up in one of the letters, early day. There was a concern about the release on early day. Can you explain that?
I can. I neglected to put that bullet of the things that we have changed already. In our first year of operation, we did have an early, so it was fewer students. We did have regularly scheduled time for teachers to collaborate that had the students arriving and leaving at the same time. We learned quickly on that was not going to be something that we could. I mean, it borderline worked the first year, but we knew as we grew that was not going to be feasible. So we actually reworked our entire school calendar to have that time for teachers in a different way, which actually reduced the number of days that we have students on campus to only 175 days out of the school year. So there's an added bonus that we're there 5 days fewer with kids, too. So that we've already When we do have early days, we do have some for parent-teacher conferences. So 2 weeks throughout the year in a random scheduled here or there day. And those are staggered as well with the same amount of time between dismissals.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You both have asked my question, so thank you. And thank you again. We may need you, so stay close, okay. All of you. At this time, I will open it up to the public. And just to kind of a prelude into public comment, the Planning Commission is the city's land use decision-making body. We're an adjudicative body. We make decisions based upon findings in the record and public comment and information provided to the commission and to the city. So we largely have purview over land use and environmental compatibility and impacts. And let's see here. We, you know, are looking for findings relative to our general plan, land use, zoning compatibility, those types of issues. So anything relative to things that are outside of our purview, such as the nature of charter schools or the value of charter schools or how they're set up or whether they should be in existence, not our purview. So I will ask that you not address those to this commission. You may, but it doesn't fall under our purview, so we are limited in our ability to consider those in our decision-making. Please, no booing or clapping. I raise this with most of our attendees who come in larger groups because it discourages free and open comment and the sharing of thoughts that may be counter to what may be popular. So please, if you do boo and clap, other than for children are the one exception I do allow. If you want to clap for children, please don't boo them, but please, if you want to clap for them, that is fine. So with that, I will open it up to public comment. Please, when you come forward, state your name for the record. At this time, I'm not going to place a time limit on anyone because we have a fairly limited crowd here, but please step forward and state your name.
Good evening. I'm Tammy Cooper with RC Willie, and I'd just like to restate that we are very much in favor of this project, and we've been very, very good partners together. Our concerns have been primarily safety issues, and if you look at our building at the very west side and at the north side at that corner, it's really not. It's a landscaping issue, yes, but the problem is that we have semis pulling into the west side of the building and that we have people pulling into the will call areas on that will call dock on the northwest corner, driving vehicles that they're oftentimes not familiar with, U-Haul trucks and whatnot. And so our problem really has resulted in parents that have chosen to not abide by the established guidelines, and they will park in our west area. Not only do they have children meeting them, but also the problem is that they oftentimes have toddlers and babies with them. And so now they're taking and going over paths that really aren't safe, and toddlers running around the parking lot are a big concern to us. The school has been very, very responsive, has sent notifications to parents, has been in contact with us, and they've done everything within their power. So we really believe that with the modifications that the planning office has established, with that fence, like I say, to discourage people because it almost makes it very difficult. You almost have to go into wetland to get around that fence. That will really help a great deal to prevent the people, you know, from going that direction. Our concern is safety. We can replace landscaping every day of the week, and that's fine. But we really don't want to see someone hurt back there. We don't want to be the patrolling agency to say, you know, no, and what are you doing parking here? And we're going to tow you, because we're never going to say that. We aren't going to say that, but we really don't want anybody hurt. And so that's been our biggest concern. The school's been very reactive and very proactive in telling us what's going on and explaining any issues we have. So once again, our support is for the project, and they've been great neighbors. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Any questions for me?
Actually, I have one.
Yes, sir.
So can you explain the OEA, exactly what that is?
You
may not be the right person, but
no idea. our projects, Blue Oaks Town Center, we do own our property within the Blue Oaks Town Center. However, we try to abide by their center guidelines, but I have no idea what Janet would be referring to. We are different than the property right north of us.
Okay.
So I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm not much help there.
Tammy, one question, if
yes.
I may, just in relationship to the traffic flows. So you're comfortable that with the queuing that is set up today, it does avoid that flow of traffic directly in front of the store and along the side of the drive area?
It gets busy, but it's manageable. The signage there has helped a great deal. The parents have slowed down, and so it's getting much more routine to everybody. And I'm surprised at how well it works for as many cars as is there. There's some tight turns. That's nobody's fault other than the way the streets are constructed. But we're happy to use the front of our lot. They're happy to park in the front of our lot. We know that they're driving in the front of our lot. We're okay with that. We're just really concerned about safety at the back corner.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any others this evening wishing to address the commission? No students. Okay. Always want to give you the option. With that, I will close public comment, bring it back to the commission. I have kids, so I like to see them when they have the opportunity to get up and make statements, but they've shied away from coming and addressing me at the planning commission. It's just the way it is. So with that, commissioner deliberations, additional questions, what's the pleasure of the commission?
I'll begin. It's always nice to see whether it's a school or a business, a youth group, see success in Rockland, see Rockland growing. Rockland's known for its schools, its parks, and it's nice to see success, and we know with success comes growth. And I'm also happy to see that there is a excellent relationship based on the feedback we've heard and what we've seen in relationship to the businesses with the academy. So that is good to see. So given what has been presented to us, our prior approvals for the academy in phase one and with phase two, certainly subject to the conditions of approval that have been presented, it is consistent with the existing general plan. And also the zoning that is pursuant to Sunset West, our general plan, and the citywide design review guidelines. So therefore, I find that the project is supportable, and I certainly support it.
Commissioner Martinez.
No, I agree, and as you can tell, the focus of the discussion was mostly on the traffic. That's probably one of the longest conditions I've seen in a long time related to traffic management and control. So I think it's well thought out, and it allows a lot of flexibility for the school, and the city to work cooperatively to find, something that works. So it'll be a fluid situation. All our public schools have traffic issues during those peak hours, and they're stuck in the middle of neighborhoods. And I know parents camp out a half hour early. They live a block away, and they still drive their kids to school. So I'm not concerned about it. I think this condition works. And I think if the adjacent property manager had significant concerns, they would have found a way to get here. They would have had other businesses complaining and, having them show up or somehow be better represented. So I think, the condition allows a lot of flexibility for things to work out. And I think also over time, as the parents become more and more familiar with the operations of the schools and the guidelines that are set out, it'll only get better. I don't think this is a significant increase to what was already approved. So with that said, I would agree that it's consistent with the general plan. The findings can be made for compatibility with adjacent uses with respect to the use permit. And the design review items are all related to really security issues. It's all compatible with existing development on site. So with that, I would support the project as proposed, including the modified condition 3 for the use permit.
Okay, I agree with my fellow commissioners. There is one additional item I have, and it relates to the same item somewhere in my notes here as in the previous hearing item on page 5 of the resolution, packet page 259. If we could replace subdivider with applicant and the indemnity provisions. That would be great. I too like to see things continue to grow and prosper in the city. This one, utilization of existing buildings and facilities in a different way and with a different use is very positive, as we have other office space in the city, which is not so well utilized, but it's coming along, and it's with the flexibility that we're providing to some of these uses, and this one included, to move forward and grow and prosper. So project, again, consistent with the general plan and zoning. I find the conditions of approval in this case, we probably were a little bit restrictive in the past relative to circulation. I tend to agree with staff here in providing a little lighter touch and providing more flexibility to work with the businesses and with the parents and behaviors and behavior modifications and getting them to go where they should at the times they should. I, too, do school drop-off some mornings, and I tend to be one that follows the rules, but it does help to have traffic monitors, to have an administrator out there. Teachers are one thing, that administrator out there tends to be another. People tend to pay more attention for whatever reason. So thank you for spending time out there to help modify that behavior. But this is part and parcel to my common theme of traffic in Rockland, and we can do better behaviorally. We can go slower through neighborhoods, slower through and past uses that have some sensitivity and some perhaps safety concerns, and especially with kids in place, and hopefully in this case parents dropping off students is the primary driver of that, and they will follow suit and follow direction. So thank you, Ms. Cooper, for coming and stating for us that you're working with them and that the fence condition will hopefully resolve some of those issues. If it doesn't, please let staff know and the applicant know and continue to work together, because that's the best way to accomplish some of these items. So with that, what's the will of the commission?
I will make a motion that we approve resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a mitigated negative declaration, Rockland Academy Phase 2 DR2015-0019 and U2015-0010. I also move approval of resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a design review to modify existing landscaping and parking lot areas in the Rockland 65 Commerce Center, Rockland Academy Phase 2 DR2015-0019, and move to approve resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a conditional use permit to allow the operation of a preschool through 8th grade charter school in a PD-BPC zone, Rockland Academy Phase 2 U2015-0010, subject to page 5 packet page 259 under indemnity, the word subdivider modified to applicant, and subject to the blue memo with condition 3 replaced by the language under 3 contained in the public correspondence, amended condition language in addition of Exhibit B to the design review resolution blue memo.
Thank you. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that was also unanimous. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for your time this evening. We will continue to move down the agenda. We're after 8 o'clock. We'll move right on into our non-public hearing items. So the first one, item 10, and we'll take this very slowly to allow people to exit. Reports and discussion items from planning commissioners.
Nope.
I just want to first of all thank staff for the packet and everything that was put together, but I also want to recognize staff. During our last meeting, we discussed concerns regarding the conditions along Whitney Boulevard, and I want to thank staff for notifying our other staff members and how quickly they were able to resolve that. I know I've had comments made about how nice the sidewalk areas are there now that they can be easily walked. So I just want to thank staff. You're always quick to respond to our requests and our questions. So thank you for all that you do.
Okay. I don't have anything this evening. Reports from staff.
We have none.
How about upcoming hearing items? There's a lot posted on the web and otherwise.
We have a number of items that are swirling around and headed your way, but none of them are ready for hearing notices yet, so I can't tell you specifically when they'll get to you.
Okay. So for the June 7th meeting, we have at least two of us out on vacation. Kids get out of school on Friday and or the week before, so do we have agenda items for that meeting as of yet?
That meeting, we do have South Whitney Mixed Use will be on the agenda that night.
Okay. Okay.
So
I won't
just,
be here.
So we do need a quorum, yes.
So just be mindful for the three that are attending or maybe share that with the applicant, you know.
Yeah. In this case, chairman and vice chair will both be absent, so we'll have to go to the next senior member of the commission or however you all care to decide.
Is the next meeting the changing of the guard?
No, it's July.
Oh, it's in July. Okay.
Okay. So with that, unless there's anything else this evening, yes, sir.
Just a couple things. One of the commissioners asked a question on the last item about available remaining square footage that's available. Mr. Foggy indicated that all the square footage within the buildings you were considering tonight is consumed by the school. In the balance of the park, there is approximately 1,200 square feet available near the school location and then about 4,500 near the front of the complex. Otherwise, it's all leased out. I just wanted you to be aware that I know it doesn't have any bearing on your decision, but it was a question I figured you were interested in knowing the answer.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Okay, and with that, we are adjourned. Thank you all.